KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Welcome you in. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with me. We've been together a lot today. We've been together a lot. When it has not been John Rooney, Ricky Horton, Mike Claiborne with you, it has been me in some form or fashion since about 12 noon. So that's good. That's good. It's a good Friday here on KMOX. And if you're sick of hearing my voice, I'm sorry. You got two more hours of it. But it's a very different world that we're living in right now than the one that we were living in this morning, this afternoon, when we popped on with Gas House Gang at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. We did not know. We did not know at 12 noon today that we would be spending the latter portion of the day talking about the big news, that is Joshua Baez being called up by the Cardinals. They have not officially given us the roster move. Oliver Marmol acknowledged in his postgame media session today that Baez is getting the call up. So it's official in that sense that the manager of the team said it. It was widely reported that Cesar Prieto's locker in Chicago was being cleared out, so you don't have to be a brain, a brain surgeon to know that Baez is here, Prieto is going away, and there you go. So, that's good news. That is good news, and it's gonna be fun to see what this looks like here moving forward with Baez. And you know, a lot of talk about where he's going to be in the lineup. That's what we were talking about towards at the end of Redbird Rush Hour. In fact, John even sends in a message on the stream, says, Matt, you mentioned the rush hour. Your thoughts of them batting Baez fifth and win six tomorrow. They will not have two right-handed hitters follow Jordan lineup. Church will either be fifth or sixth. John, you're probably right because they are concerned with that. I guess my response would be this whole right-left thing. It's not scoring you any runs right now. You had three hits today. So go build the lineup as best as you can on the profile of the hitters. And I would be more concerned about guys walking into spots that are sort of where they're going to be for the long term in terms of trying to keep the right-left thing going on. But there is some value in that for sure.
Nathan Church has 26 at-bats above the seventh spot this season.
Okay.
So he hasn't really batted higher than seventh. So I think there's some room there for Baez potentially being in the fifth or sixth spot.
Yeah, and maybe I value stuff differently than other people. I do value stuff differently than other people. I know that. And I'm probably wrong because there's people who are a lot smarter than me who value things in different ways than me. I don't value right now with where this team is at the righty-lefty thing over some other stuff. But they may go in that direction. So just wanted to appreciate John's comment on that, and we'll continue this conversation moving along. That was Matthew Rocchio's voice, by the way, that you heard just a moment ago. Should have introduced him as he's going to be with me for the course of the program tonight. This is what we've got coming up. We've got we'll talk a fair amount Cardinals baseball, obviously, but we do have a number of things that we do have planned beyond. Gabe DeArmond from Power Mizzou is going to be with us. There's a really odd situation playing out with Mark Mitchell, and I think it's pretty clear he has played his final day as a Missouri Tiger, but the bigger question is, has he played his final game as a college basketball player? He is part of the group of people that are trying to take advantage of the combination of the 5-5 deal that the NCAA is moving forward with, plus the injunction originally from a Colorado judge that opened up the door for a class of 2022 members to get an unexpected extra year of eligibility. But for some individuals, it takes another court situation, and he has been in court. There was a hearing today. A judge is not making a final decision on his eligibility. That's going to come at some point next week. It has become very clear that if Mitchell does receive another year of eligibility, he's going to end up at the University of Kentucky. I think that seems to be the route that it's going on right now. But Gabe will talk about that with us coming up in just a little while. Also on the show, Brendan Schaefer, our good friend, Cardinals beat writer with MLB.com. He is going to be with us at about 6:35 next hour. This is going to be fun. We're going to talk a little Lindenwood football. Their head coach, Jed Stuger, is going to be with us at 7:05, and we'll talk some City SC next hour as well as Jen Cease, our own Jen Cease, our City SC reporter. She's going to have our Friday conversation. That's the we try to lock Jen into a Friday spot. That's kind of her spot, but the Cardinals are generally playing on Friday nights, so we've had to be a bit more creative at times, but Jen right back into her normal Friday position. We'll talk City SC with her. That's going to be coming up at about 7:20 or so. Outside of that, we're talking Cardinals baseball, and we're here for you. So if you want to chime in on what we are talking about as this whole bias situation, got a text message mentioning the fact that tomorrow with the Cardinals facing off against a lefty in Matthew Boyd, it might even be Jose Fermin anyways in the lineup as opposed to Nathan Church. And that's a good point. They will have the versus lefty lineup in there tomorrow. So you would think Fermin's going to be in there and probably in the outfield because you're probably playing Blaze Jordan at third base tomorrow. So I'm more concerned about what it's going to look like long term as opposed to just tomorrow.
I'm also wondering about what do we think the reaction is going to be should he continue to have the strikeout issues he had in the minors? Because we saw how the fan base didn't have a lot of patience, I'll say, for Jimmy Crooks.
Yeah.
And he was putting up, by weighted runs created plus, he actually had a better season this year in the minors than Baez did. I know, obviously, the 34 home runs are eye-popping, but Jimmy Crooks was tearing the cover off the ball. He struggles here, and people were ready to cut bait after a month. And so I'm just wondering, will people's reaction around any struggles for Baez be any different? Have they learned from Crooks? Are
they
going to treat it differently?
No, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. The Cardinals are the dumbest organization in the world. How in the world is this guy not up? How is this guy not in the... Look at the AAA numbers. Look at his OPS. Look at his slugging percentage. Oh my, these guys... Heim Bloom, fire Heim. He's leaving Joshua Baez down. He's leaving Jimmy Crooks down. He's leaving Brian Torres down. What are they doing? This is crazy. Look at the numbers they're putting up at AAA. And then they get here.
I feel like I may have struck something here.
Oh, it's just, let these guys, it's more than the numbers. It's more than the numbers. It's when they're ready. And I think the organization thinks that Joshua Baez is ready. Awesome. They thought that Jimmy Crooks was ready. He has not done much. And this wasn't under Heim Bloom, but the exact same people who don't want Nolan Gorman anywhere near this organization are the same people who 2-3 years ago were like, what are they doing? Why is he still there? Get him. So just pump the brakes, people. Pump the brakes. Trust people who have dedicated their entire professional careers and have gone to the highest level of their professional careers. Trust them to make the right decision on when somebody is ready. And it's better to maybe wait a little bit longer than the other side of it. All right. We'll talk some kind of Mizzou athletics, but definitely Mark Mitchell situation. Gabe DeArmond from Power Mizzou. He's going to join us coming up in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMO.
Well, if you don't like the way things are in college sports, just wait a day because the rules are going to change and the rules are likely going to be changed because of some sort of ruling in a courtroom. That's where we're at right now in college athletics. The world of college athletics is being ruled in courtrooms where essentially the NCAA tries to make rules. Somebody challenges in a courtroom. The judge sides with the athlete, and then the rules go in that direction. And this now has a bit of a Mizzou connection to it because Mark Mitchell is trying to retain college eligibility for another year, although it doesn't look like he wants to play at Mizzou. To talk about that and a few other things, let's welcome on to the program from Power Mizzou, the Mizzou coverage you get at Power Mizzou, second to none. Gabe DeArmond joins us on the show. Gabe, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Not bad. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you make of this situation where Mark Mitchell is, like many former college athletes, maybe former/current college athletes, they're trying to take advantage of the 5-5, and they're trying to take advantage of what the Colorado judge did with the injunction to get another year. But it seems like with Mitchell, if he does get that next year, he's likely to be at Kentucky and not Missouri.
That's the way it seems right now. Yeah, I mean, you know, these things can change. His hearing was this morning in Louisville, and I was kind of surprised that the judge just didn't immediately say, yeah, you guys win, we're granting the injunction. He said he's going to decide sometime next week. Sterling Webb had the same thing happen, and I mean, like, within 10 minutes of the end of the hearing, he was basically back on Missouri's football team. So I'm a little surprised it's not already done. I'm so tired of covering lawsuits and court hearings and this and that. I just want the games to start.
Yeah.
I do understand this class saying, hey, we're the only ones that didn't get this. I mean, my stance since the beginning has been, whatever your feeling is on it, just be consistent about that feeling. If you think they should all come back, cool, then you got to think it's fine that Mark Mitchell is going to come back and go to Kentucky. If you think none of them should come back, you shouldn't change your mind when it helps your team. You know, my stance since the beginning has been, hey, you know, there used to be a time where we just told people, yeah, man, life's not fair. Sorry, you fell in the class that isn't going to get 5 years. That's rough. It's too bad, but move on. And I think the irony in all of this is the kids that are taking advantage of it are taking advantage of it because they are not good enough to be pros.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be insulting. It is very difficult to be a pro athlete. It is a great thing if you are an excellent college athlete. Not all of those guys become pros, but like if they can play pro ball, they're going and playing pro ball. And the ones that are coming back can't. And I think the tough part of it is, and it's been the tough part of a lot of these things that the NCAA has done the last few years, the people it really hurts are the kids either on current teams or being recruited in high school right now. I mean, you're just running out of roster spots.
Yeah, there's so much. And I know you're not a lawyer, but I'm gonna ask you kind of a lawyer type question, and you can talk to me like I'm in third grade. What I don't understand is why that injunction came down from the Colorado judge and immediately a bunch of athletes got their eligibility back. But then there's another class of athletes like Mitchell who they still have to go through their own court system. Is this connected to the fact that he did the Exhibit 10 contract in the NBA? Like, what's the difference between these athletes?
No, it is connected to the fact that he didn't enter the transfer portal. Like, Mark could come back to Missouri today. Based on that Colorado ruling, there were two football players at Virginia, I think a couple at Indiana, maybe Louisville or Texas Tech, I can't remember, but that, like, they were, after that Colorado ruling, they said, cool, I'm going back to my team, right? And Mark Mitchell could do that. He could have, the day that ruling came down, at any point, he could have said, I'm going back to Missouri, assuming Missouri had room and it was good with both sides and all of that. But to go to anywhere, basically to even talk to other schools or coaches, he has to be in the transfer portal. Well, he didn't enter the transfer portal back in April when it was open. So part of this lawsuit is, we want you to open force the opening of a new transfer portal next week so we can get in it and talk to other coaches, because right now there's only one place I'm allowed to go. Now, guys like, you know, Jacob Cruz and Javon Porter from Missouri were kind of in the same situation, and they entered the transfer portal in April. And at the time, we kind of laughed. We're like, what are you doing? Your college career is over. Why are you doing this? Well, they're doing it for exactly this scenario. If down the road something happens where we get 5-5, we want to then be able to go out and kind of figure out where we're going to play college basketball next year. And the difference in those situations is, you know, Mark certainly would have had the option and would be welcome back at Missouri under the right circumstances. Jacob Cruz and Javon Porter were not going to have a spot on Missouri's team this year.
Yeah. Is there any guys leave programs via the transfer portal over and over and over every single year. Is there any reason to look at this Mark Mitchell, Missouri situation, him not wanting to be back, at anything more than just the standard guy wants to go play somewhere else?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's money. Like, I mean, look, I've said it on our message board, so I don't mind saying it on the radio. I've heard from enough places. I firmly believe that despite the fact Kentucky cannot technically be talking to Mark, if he gets to a situation where it can happen, there's an offer of $6 million on the table for next year. That Missouri doesn't have that. They're not offering $6 million. So, I mean, that's the reason. And I don't, you know, everybody hears, well, he's chasing a bag and thinks it's a terrible thing. I don't know. If somebody offered you $6 million a year for 1 year of work, would you do it? I can't think of a job I wouldn't do for $6 million next year.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I spent the better part of $100 over the last 3 weeks on Powerball tickets, so I'll do a lot for millions of dollars if I need to.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no question.
And from an NCAA standpoint, this is attached to Mitchell, but it's also attached to the bigger picture. They keep fighting these things and they keep losing. And I understand why they want to keep fighting, because they're going to tell you they have morals and they want to enforce rules, yada, yada, yada. But at some point, it feels like you're in quicksand. Why not just try to accelerate to whatever the rules and whatever the world's going to look like and stop fighting this stuff that you're probably going to lose in court?
I mean, I think it's a pride and ego thing, right? At some point, I mean, first of all, this is going to be, I say this, God knows, it could all change. This should be the last year where this is an issue, because starting next year, we are going to a very set, you get 5 years to play five, that's it. Or 5 years after your 19th birthday, whatever helps you the most. Kids entering college next year, it's just 5 years. You get 5 years, that's all. And you can't play anymore. So we won't have these lawsuits. So at this point, I think we're not going to wave the white flag. We're going to dig in and we're going to fight every one of you, even if we lose everyone.
Yeah, that's where they're at. And it is not going especially well for them. Do you like the 5-5? Do you like where this thing is going?
I'm fine with it. Yeah. I mean, I think it helps. I think it helps coaches in that you don't have to make hard decisions about, like, well, this kid's played four games already. If we play him again, we burn a year of eligibility. So as long as the rules are the same across the board, 5 years is fine with me. I don't like whatever. I would have been fine if it stayed at four or two. But obviously at this point, I think giving an extra year probably avoids some problems down the road. So I do like it. Now, the interesting part will become, okay, what happens with the first kid that, say, has season-ending injuries twice and tries to challenge this and say, but really, I only got to play 3 years. You know, what's a court going to say about that? I mean, to me, it's, hey, you have 5 years, man. Whatever happens in those 5 years happens, and then you're done. And hopefully that'll hold up. And I do think it's a much more straightforward and simple thing that seems like it should be more difficult to challenge in courts. But like you said, I'm not a lawyer, so what do I know?
Last thing for you before we get you out of here. Bill Self had some interesting comments that he made to John Rothstein from CBS Sports on John's podcast. He was asked about the future of the Mizzou-Kansas rivalry game, and Bill gave about a million reasons on why this thing may not move forward, and he tried to blame every other party in the world. What is your take? Everybody in college basketball says Missouri and Kansas should continue to play, but it really felt like Bill Self was trying to plant the seed that this thing is not going to continue on after the current contract.
Well, my favorite part of it was, like you said, Bill Self listing off all these other people. Bill Self is fully in control of who Kansas plays in basketball. Like, it is not a secret. The reason Missouri and Kansas did not play from 2012 till 2021 was because Bill Self got mad that Missouri left the Big 12 and said, we're not doing it. And I mean, that's all there was to it. And so it didn't happen. It came back because Bill Self finally relented and said, fine, let's go do it. And it's come back for 6 years. This is the last year. Dennis Gates was on with Rothstein a few weeks ago, and John asked him the same question, and he said, look, I'm not going to be the reason this doesn't happen. I want it to happen. I want our admin to make it happen. Missouri's stance since it left the Big 12 was, we will play you. We will play you in football. We will play you in basketball. We think we should continue to play you. This is up to you. And for a long time, Kansas refused, and now it appears Kansas is going to refuse again. I made a lot of Missouri fans mad this morning because I said, look, at this point, I just – whatever. If it goes away, fine. And I never thought I'd say that. But, you know, it's don't get me wrong. If they keep playing it, that's cool too. I'm not advocating for it to stop. But at some point, Bill Self's making it pretty obvious he doesn't really want to do it. If I'm Missouri, I just go, like, we're in a different league. We have a lot of good games on our schedule. We're not going to beg you to come play us.
He is Gabe DeArmond. Before we get you out of here, I know you guys have a special going on over at Power Mizzou. You're part of the 24/7 Sports Network, so you get a lot of access to everything across the network. Best ranking system in terms of the prospects across basketball and football with the 24/7 Sports Composite, which is awesome. It takes all the various ranking systems out there and puts in one. If folks want to get your Mizzou coverage and get access to 24/7 Sports, you've got quite the deal going on right now.
Yeah, just go to powermizzou.com. We're offering you, I think, up until kickoff, 60% off your first year. So it's less than $5 a month. It's going to get you coverage through next August. We've got Cody Goodwin. He has a great story up on Jamal Roberts, the St. Louis kid, today. He is killing camp coverage. And, you know, we've got four full-time people covering Mizzou at times when most media outlets are cutting back. So hopefully people come check it out.
Support journalism, support people who are getting actual game coverage and practice coverage. Power Mizzou is the best. Gabe, thank you so much for the time. We'll do this again down the line.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one.
All right, very good. That's Gabe DeArmond joining us from Power Mizzou. Again, they do a great job covering the Tigers, and we appreciate them spending some time with us and going through this whole Mark Mitchell situation, which is interesting to say the least. We'll jump back into Cardinals. Our guy, Brendan Schaefer, he joins us next. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. All right, back at it here on KMOX. We're going to talk with Brendan Schaefer coming up in just a moment or so. We are efforting him right now, part of the team over at MLB.com, Cardinals.com, covering the Cardinals in his first year in that role, doing a really, really good job. Of course, you've seen him. He's got a bunch of stuff. He's got the B-Shafe Daily. He's been part of STL Sports Central. He's got a radio show that he does in Columbia, Missouri. So he's everywhere. He's absolutely everywhere. So we'll talk with him in just a moment as we continue to talk through the Joshua Baez promotion, the excitement that is Baez joining the Cardinals, and he is expected to be in the lineup and playing left field tomorrow. Now, a reminder for you, he has passed the date in which you have to get by to still have rookie eligibility for next year, but there's also rookie eligibility connected to the number of at-bats that you are going to, that you have to stay under to make sure that you're eligible for next year. So if all of a sudden Baez isn't playing, that's why. If he gets a day off here, a day off there, maybe he's just absolutely killing it, they are not going to burn his rookie eligibility to get him an extra game or two here moving forward. But it's exciting. And I said this to Bernie earlier, and I said this, if you were with me on the postgame show the night before Quinn Matthews made his debut, one of my big points was just enjoy this. Enjoy watching these guys get here and enjoy knowing that it's going to be somebody who is probably going to be here for a long time and is really likely to have an extended good run with this team and could very easily be one of the top players for this team and a guy that's a big part of driving in runs and scoring runs and everything. So it's exciting for sure that Joshua Baez is getting here. And with that, we're happy to welcome onto the program via the Quiver River Electric guest line. It is our friend Brendan Schaefer. You see him and you read him at MLB.com, B. Schaefer Daily, all over the place. He joins us right now. Hey, Brendan, how are you?
Doing well, Matt. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was your initial reaction when all of a sudden the news started to break on social media today that Joshua Baez is en route to Chicago and he's going to be in the starting lineup coming tomorrow?
Yeah, my reaction was, I guess they're starting a lefty tomorrow. And then I looked, and that's true. Maybe that's the explanation, right, for why the one additional day. But we had sort of been anticipating this. Once you got below that 45-day threshold. You want to maintain that rookie eligibility for 2027, and if he is, in fact, that type of player. But, yeah, I think it's probably time that we see Joshua Baez at the big league level. And what better place to start off than on this road trip where you're at Wrigley? Hey, maybe the wind will be blowing out. Who knows? And then Cincinnati, we know the power hitters can thrive there. So I think it's two places that honestly make more sense to give him a look than even starting him off at Busch. So let's see what he's got. I think it'll be exciting for Cardinals fans that have been asking for this.
The Cardinals have slow played this a little bit, maybe in part because they did wanted to make sure that they did not burn his rookie eligibility, but also because there were some things still underneath the hood with what he was doing at AAA at times that did not look great. Some of that has been cleaned up. What kind of expectations do you think fans should have as Baez arrives?
I mean, I would temper them. I would say that this could go a number of different ways, but the 34 home runs in AAA is certainly something to pay attention to. The 136 strikeouts, I think, is part of what you mentioned there, Matt, the reason the Cardinals maybe exercised some caution and were patient with this process. But look, I think with a lot of young players, before they get that first taste of the big leagues, they can't really know and understand or feel what it's like to be in that situation. So for Joshua Baez, it's got to happen at some point that he gets his feet wet, and that's what this process can be, right? Mason Lynn, a couple of years ago when he first was coming up, had one of these types of cups of coffee toward the end of the season. You don't want to look back at those numbers and take anything away from them, but maybe in Baez's case, you're looking for the power, right? So even if there are some strikeouts, can he mix in the occasional home run to give you a glimpse of, you know, what type of power he could provide to the Cardinal lineup in the future? I think that's the hope in terms of the expectation.
What do you think separates out the guys who get to the big leagues for the first time and have some form of just thriving immediately and able to stick around versus the guys who get to the big leagues and it's a struggle, and sometimes it's a return to AAA or it's just really trying to fight through things? It can go either way, and to me it doesn't seem to be much of a rhyme or reason to why it goes so well for some guys and not so well for others.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to bring up, because a lot of the time we do see guys that have great AAA numbers and the gap there is significant, and then they come up and it's not the same. Maybe they need another round of seasoning down in the minors, and they come back and it's better and you learn a little bit more. I think the rhyme or reason, like the best way to look at it is go, okay, who are the guys that do come right up and they're polished and they're holding their own? I think of a guy like JJ Weatherholt, and just hearing the way that Ollie Marmol describes all of the preparation and the work that he puts into behind the scenes, what he does out there on the field, just kind of tells you that there are some guys who are on another level. I think Weatherholt is one of those guys. I think it's rare, though, for players to quite be on that level when they first get to the big leagues. And so a lot of the time you do see that gap present itself, and then it's about the adjustments that guys can make. So if you're kind of coming up bushy-tailed and bright-eyed without really knowing what to expect, you could get punched in the mouth a little bit, but it's those that make the adjustment when that happens that are then able to go on to have really long and prosperous careers. And, you know, whether Baez has that kind of welcome to the big leagues moment or he's able to just, you know, seamlessly kind of glide into the beginning of his career, either way, you're hopeful that, you know, adjustments will be a part of his game for the long haul, because that's really what it takes to be able to stick at the big league level.
We're talking with Brendan Schaefer from Cardinals.com, MLB.com. Joshua Baez getting here tomorrow. We might see Quinn Matthews this upcoming week. That seems to be something that is quite possible, especially with the doubleheader coming up on Monday. And if you do that, then it's only a couple more weeks until you get to September and maybe you promote him. Do you feel like we're getting close to, whether it's via a six-man rotation or some other way to get him in, do you feel like we're close to Quinn Matthews being here and sticking here for the rest of the year?
Yeah, that's hard to say because of what you said. Like the six-man rotation thing, I don't think can really happen until you get to September call-ups when you get a couple of extra guys on the roster. But right, they're going to do it for a doubleheader, I assume. Looking now, he last pitched on Wednesday, so he would line up with Monday being his fifth day. I would be really surprised if he's not pitching in that series and probably on that first day of that series in one of the games of the doubleheader. Then you could shuffle him back and pick a strategic moment to bring him back up, whether it's for another one-off later on in August, because they've got those guys in the rotation that they've tried to bake in extra days for. And I think Matthews is kind of in that role right now. And to your point, maybe when the roster expands, it's easier to have him and just keep him because you can utilize those extra spots in that way if you so choose. But yeah, like Quinn Matthews to me is right now in the role that we saw Michael McGreevy in there for a while, and then it was Hunter Dobbins earlier this season, and now it's Matthews. But I certainly think he's very much on the radar and is going to make more than just one remaining start the rest of the season. Like, we'll probably see him Monday. I think we'll certainly see him again after Monday as well and continue to get him integrated.
Do you think the Cardinals are getting enough credit for when you look at the starting rotation and three-fifths of the rotation, basically everybody but Matthew Liberatore and guys who've either been not – who haven't been there the whole year. So three of the four guys who have been there all year in Leahy, McGreevy, and Pallante – all three of those guys have basically 3.6 ERAs or below. All three of them have made all 23 starts. So they've pitched well, and they have stayed healthy. Does the organization get the credit it deserves for, like, specifically those three guys having the seasons that they're having?
I'm going to say that, number one, no, the organization doesn't get the credit that it deserves for that. Number two, I think like guys like Dusty Blake specifically don't get the credit that he deserves for something like that. It seems like with position coaches, whether it's hitting coach, pitching coach, over the years, not specific to this team, Matt, but like in general, we end up seeing, okay, the offense isn't doing well, got to fire the hitting coach. Oh, a couple guys are struggling to pitch. It's probably the pitching coach's fault. And like that's sort of the way that I think fans and the public perception can be of these roles. I don't think it's necessarily accurate to reality, and we oftentimes don't then flip that script and say, hey, with the talent that you had at your disposal, here's what you're getting out of guys. Or, hey, here's the plan that the organization put together for a Kyle Leahy, taking him from a relief role and in his very first year in a rotation role with a little bit of turbulence at the beginning, but not nearly as much as I think a lot of folks were discussing it as, and probably not as much as even the Cardinals were prepared to weather. Like, he very smooth over his last couple of months, and he's in year one of doing this. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who deserve credit for that and other examples that you brought up, and Pallante, McGreevy, that are not getting the shine necessarily. It just seems like it's a lot easier to criticize the ones that don't go well versus, hey, nobody was talking about this Cardinals rotation when you look at the names in it, and I'm talking nationally, being a group that had three guys with the numbers that you just read out that these guys have. So yeah, they deserve a ton of credit, and I don't know if always that credit is doled out on the level that it should be.
He is Brendan Schaefer. You can read him MLB.com, Cardinals.com, all over the place doing other things, whether it's the podcast and the Be Schaefer Daily, and he pops up in a few other places as well. Brendan, always appreciate you taking a few moments with us. Enjoy the weekend, and I'm sure we'll see you at the ballpark when the team is back in town.
Absolutely, Matt. Thanks for having me, man.
Perfect. That is Brendan Schaefer joining us on the show, and we appreciate him spending some time with us today. Again, if you're just now tuning in and you've not been with us from the beginning, the news of the day, as Oliver Marmol announced during his post-game media session, as you heard right here on KMOX during our post-game show, Ollie announced the news that Joshua Baez is coming up to the Cardinals. He'll be making his major league debut tomorrow. He is going to be in left field, and you would think that he's going to be an everyday player for this team moving forward. There might be a day or two where he doesn't play just to make sure that you keep him under that at bats threshold so he does retain rookie eligibility for next year. But there's no reason to believe that this guy is not going to be given every opportunity to play and play a lot, and just let that help propel him into next year and maybe help propel the Cardinals a little bit, because I don't know if you've heard, the Cardinals don't hit a lot of home runs. And it'd be nice to have somebody who can hit a few home runs. That would be nice. So let's see Joshua Baez get a few knocked out of the ballpark before this year comes to an end. One final break here in hour number one. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. We got a busy program. We're here with you till 8 o'clock tonight. Don't go anywhere. You are locked into a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Less than 2 minutes to go here in hour number one of the program. We've got a lot coming up in hour number two. We'll continue the Joshua Baez conversation. We'll also talk some Lindenwood football and some City SC. So that's all going to be coming up in the second hour. Jeremy sends in a message about Joshua Baez. Says, I wonder what his reaction was to being called up. I don't know how he found out. Sometimes they've got the cameras hidden away in the manager's office when somebody gets the news that they got called up. I love that stuff. I can't get enough of that stuff. It's the easiest content to produce, and it is the best content to produce. Anything that creates emotion on both sides of the camera, the true emotion of Baez finding out that he's going to the big leagues, and the emotion of everybody watching it,
It's great. Now, I would say this. Baez has been very clear when asked about how should he be at the big leagues. He said, I got work to do here in Memphis. So that he was saying the right things.
If we don't get the video, maybe next week we try to get Alex Coyle on.
Yeah.
Who does the broadcast down there and is a great Twitter follow, great, does a great job setting up interviews. We get him on and say, all right, what's the word around the stadium about what his reaction was when he got brought in?
Yeah, we need to talk to Alex. And I was texting with Alex a little bit earlier today. So we'll get him on at some point, talk more about Joshua Baez. But Baez in the lineup, assumingly in left field tomorrow, and who knows where he's going to hit, but it's going to be fun to see. We've got a lot more coming up after the 7 o'clock news here on KMOX.